welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, the one and only, the Monster. And with me, holding his breath, trying not to laugh, my co-host for 2014.
Yay!
Mr. Gene, how are you, sir?
I'm well. And thank you all for listening. It's good to be back. Hope you had a happy new year or new beer.
New beer. Experience that. Which I'm glad that the old year is gone, because that means no more holidays to celebrate. Because I hate nothing more but the holidays come after October, Halloween. I'm just raked over the coals financially. And time-wise, I'm stretched to the limit. I've had enough. I don't want to do any more. But we do it every year, god damn it.
It's called the progression of time.
Yes, and that's the problem. It's slipping away from all of us. So we need to find something that's productive, like doing lots of podcasts. Because that's what my plan is for this year.
Doing more.
Doing more. Doing more with less.
I don't think Demi's got a new... No, that's it.
No, she's done cutting herself. What? What? So anyway, we actually got to hang out over the holidays.
Yes.
After Christmas, we went to Disney for a day and a half.
Disney World, the happiest place on earth.
It was.
For guests.
It was. Until I took my son with us.
Oh, no, he was fine.
No.
He's a child.
I know.
What a child.
Oh, God. He's seven, and you have to make sure that as a seven-year-old, you have certain expectations, which is not to have any expectations other than he's seven. But it was fine. It was something that I thought it was going to be hard to deal with. But, you know, you were great to be along with. It was very helpful. Because if I just went there by himself with him and I think I would have gone nuts. But it was fun seeing the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular at night. At night, finally.
Who's the plant? That guy. Shirt. Yeah.
There we go. But, of course, I was disappointed once again. Because they never said the goddamn line at the very end of the show. May all your days be Indiana Jones days. Like they used to say. And they just stopped doing that.
You're an adult. Get used to this.
No. I wanted this for my birthday back in August. And I was like, all excited. Here, wait for it. They didn't say it. And of course, my family is there. So I'm like cursing in my hands. Like, what the fuck is going on? So I'm like, maybe it's just a fluke. So we got our chance to go back again with you and my son, and then wait for it.
Goodbye. Have a good evening.
What the fuck? They did it again. And I even put it on Twitter, because I did a Facebook and everything social media wise. I was just not happy about that.
You have the memory.
It happened.
It's precious and sacred.
It's this kind of moments that are like, you know what? I know it happened. I'm not fucking crazy. It happened. I'm not the only person that knows this, but it seems like I am.
You're obsessing.
You know it.
I know it.
All right, so I'm not crazy. You're valid.
The show's been on for several years.
Which is a whole other issue, which it's...
A copy of a copy.
Oh, my God. It is so dated. So dated. But
probably did, yes.
And the fact that the guy who played Indiana Jones' whip did not work... So at one point, he's like, oh, fuck, he just drops a whip and starts punching people around. Which is like, that's what you gotta do. It's the name of the game. You gotta keep on going with the show. So,
let's try that.
Yeah. And as such, we're going to do that. So, as we started with the beginning of the show, and you heard the theme song for Sherlock, we're going to be talking about Sherlock Season 3, Episode 1. Which, I just saw this whole first two seasons... catching up in the past, I think, month or two.
Yes.
Whereas you...
Let's try this. I've been waiting 2 years! 2 years! To find out what happened!
So I don't know. What the hell is this big hoopla? I'm like, oh my god, there's no way Sherlock can survive this. Survive what? Until I watch the damn series, because my daughter saw it, and she was trying to get me into it, as well as Mr. Jane. So finally, I get to watch it.
2 years!
2 years later, and there's even acknowledgement about... how There is 2 years in the show, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But it was a lot of fun to see the show manifest to such a favorite that I think it's going to even outshine Doctor Who at some points, because
it's building. It's, the phenomenon is building.
Exactly. It's reaching
the
that.
The Cumberbatches are going to they're melting.
It's definitely reaching a zenith point, because it's really going to be like Tennant who? Matt Smith who? Cumberbatch. That's who. So, but
they're actually doing things to themselves. Strange man.
And the scarves?
I don't know. Pick up that dead cat.
That's another podcast.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I'm just saying.
All right. So, one of the things that I just saw last night, which Gene already saw, and kind of briefly talk about this because it does tie into Sherlock, is the last episode for Matt Smith, which is the Time of the Doctor episode, the Christmas episode that aired on Christmas.
So yay!
I finally got to see
Christmas
that.
Christmas brings death, like in Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Oh, God! Death everywhere on Christmas! Why are you doing... British people are this miserable. They just...
I have a question. Is this the first time that someone regenerated on a Christmas episode?
I don't think so. That can't be. I mean, the David Tennant's premiere was for Christmas, as I recall, I think. Was it? Is that right?
His premiere was on Christmas, so right. It was before. So this is the first time he actually, that the character died and regenerated.
Yeah, I think
so. Okay. I thought that was kind of a weird thing, because I never saw a character like that do it on a Christmas episode, which you would think it'd be more happy.
Yeah.
And that was the weird thing. This past couple of weeks, it's been nothing but downers lately, like watching Her, which we'll get into. And then I saw Seeking a Friend for the end of the world just yesterday.
Karen Knightley.
And of course, you don't need to know about that, because, you know, if a meteor is coming, you're pretty much dead.
No, Bruce Willis will save us.
No, because that...
Harry Stamper will save us.
That failed. Right off the beginning of the movie, that failed. But
it's a guilty pleasure, sorry.
Watching the episode for Matt Smith, you know, you push in within the space of 1 hour everything that he's done for the past couple of years, with the silence, the crack in the wall, the Daleks, the Cybermen. I mean, everyone but their mother into this one episode, and I still do not understand about this whole episode, other than this is Matt Smith's last hurrah.
Right, and so let's tie up all the loose ends.
Which that still makes no sense.
Let's try and tie up all the loose ends. Give nods to all the loose ends. And not really solve anything, but just give you more questions. But because we acknowledge it, you read it more into it and think that we...
Yeah, that was weird. Because, you know, the one thing that threw me off is, like, you had the silence being part of the church that looked as if they were there for a reason. The whole silence would fall once the ultimate question would be revealed, and they never...
We moved on from that.
Yeah, and then, and then the question was never revealed, other than...
What's your name?
What's the name? That's the question? Doctor Who? So that's what's going on.
He's been asked for over 50 years.
So
on and off.
So if you say his name, it's like, you know, he shall not be named Voldemort.
Say my name. Walter White.
Yeah.
So Heisenberg. Sure. I don't know.
Dopey. Doctor Dopey. Really? So, if he says this, then the people on the other side of the crack, which we assume is the planet of Gallifrey, will come over to our universe, and then this whole big war will happen, which doesn't, because Matt decided to stay and fight all the creatures that are on this planet.
Trenzalore,
which is the town of Christmas, named Christmas. Which, there was this one thing about the whole town can only tell the truth.
Once that's funny.
Which, you know.
It's a funny scene. Yay, humor.
But it doesn't do anything else other than people die left and right.
It amused you for
a
period.
So we were just doing this just because. There was no rhyme or reason to this. So it was just kind of like, like watching the last three movies of Dave Tennant after season four was done. He just kind of wanders and meanders. It's like, just die already.
Stop hurting me. Why are you doing this? You were good. You can never follow up on this. The season finale of season four. That was the most amazing thing I've seen. Crossovers with Torchwood and Sarah and Brilliance. And then your specials.
Michelle Ryan. The Planet of the Dead. It was just like flying goddamn double-decker bus. No. Just stop.
Double Dutch bus?
Double decker. No, that passed a double Dutch on his left hand side. So, anyway, so in this one episode, you felt the pain of three movies that Dave did, just kind of meandering and just didn't do anything. I didn't feel as if it was a big send off that I was like, oh, I'm sad that he's gone. I didn't feel that.
No, I don't think. I mean, you got your. Okay, spoilers. We're just going to keep talking. Go back and watch the episode and talk about this, her, Sherlock, episode one, season three. The thing is that with the Matt Smith regeneration in a Peter Capaldi, it's quick, which I thought was interesting. He has this one moment with a lovely cameo.
Right.
That, you know, oh, look, yay, tribute, hooray. And then.
Look, it's Rose. Oh, no, wait, it's not Rose.
His Rose. Even though she married and did things in the TARDIS and created this whole time paradox and the whole... that makes, you know, okay, that's what happens when you make out in the TARDIS.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know.
So it was not as if, you know, he got to say goodbye to River. There's no Rory. So we think that he sort of saw Amy in his mind because Clara didn't see anything. So, I don't know. It's just... It wasn't a send-off that I got emotional about when I saw, you know, the last episode with the Ponds, which was brilliant because you end with, you know...
What I liked about it was quick. I didn't know if I liked it. It was just different.
Yeah.
You know, and there was no overly dramatic music with, like, David Tennant's regeneration. It's like, I don't want to go. You're like, oh, no, he doesn't want to go. Yeah, it's paycheck is over.
Yeah, but we want you to go. Bye. Well,
Matt Smith, he's been on for quite a run, you know, three seasons, and that's good.
Yeah, and
people love you just about as much as Tennant, maybe more, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think for all the naysayers that were saying, oh, he's never going to be as good as Dave, He's just as comparable, if not more, but for a whole set of different reasons. So that's fine. But then we jump into Peter, and then his bug eyes are looking right in the camera. I'm like, oh my god! This is the one moment I felt like I don't think this was a good idea to put Peter as the doctor.
I don't know that. I know.
Same thing with Matt. But because every regeneration of the character kept getting younger, No, let's not go there.
I'm sorry. I thought that was funny.
So, you know, now we go to an old guy. Which...
Older. Mature, aged, gentlemanly.
Basically, he's an old fart.
I am aware of this.
Okay. So my question was, and you pointed it out, because Matt Smith was at his last regeneration. He could not regenerate any further.
Technically, you know, 12 generations is supposed to be what you get. He had 13, and we're going to write that and solve it very quickly.
Right, in which you, I'm glad you pointed that out to me, which was... Clara had talked to the crack in the wall.
Fucking man.
It doesn't make any difference what his name is. You love him anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so they threw some kind of space burp into his mouth and regenerated. Well, I don't know what to describe it. It's just a floaty little stuff and it's in his mouth. And then, oh, I'm starting to regenerate. Which you explained it as that he has now 12 new regenerations.
Completely set.
So that solves the whole problem of, well, he's going to start all over again. Which, putting that together, made more sense if you look at the first Doctor being a much older Doctor, and if this is a new Doctor for that next set of generations, I thought that's the connection to that. But then again, I could be wrong.
I think you're looking a little bit too far into it. But the thing is, look, it's we're talking about it.
Right.
Which is what you want. The idea behind, I think, quality television programming or movie programming or movies is make people talk. Entertain them and get them thinking about it. Like Sherlock, which so many people, so many YouTube videos and theories and, 2 years.
That's all. We waited 2 years. You can wait some more. No, you can't.
We're waiting 3 years for the Avengers movies.
We'll talk.
It's television. Television's easy. No, it's not easier. I don't know.
All right. So, overall, good episode. Good Christmas episode. I thought it was okay. Compared to the 50th anniversary, I enjoyed the 50th more than I would actually care for.
I don't know. I find that, you anticipate so much. You're looking forward to it. It's been months since you've seen it.
Yeah.
And then it comes on, and you get some excitement, and the initial watching is always kind of, there's a thrill, but then generally there's always disappointment.
Right.
And so you got to watch it over again, you know? And then you get desensitized to it, you kind of expect the humor and the beats, and then you really start taking it in.
Right.
I didn't like The Day of the Doctor that much the first time I saw it, but then on rewatching, it's like, oh, okay, it's not that, okay, I see where they were going.
Right.
But, Time of the Doctor? Is that the...
That's the Christmas episode.
It was all right. I liked it. I think that it does a complete closure of Matt Smith's time as the Doctor, and I like that.
Okay. Well, on that note, there was an article talking about who's going to be the showrunner after Stephen Moffat.
After the next 13.
Right. Who's going to be running it. And I'm sure Moffat's going to be on for Peter's first run, but after
He's always wanted an older Doctor. You got it. Yeah. Here you go.
So we're looking at the list of possible candidates to take over.
Sorry.
And one of them you were talking about, and I didn't know that it was the same person, Mark Gatiss, who was in Sherlock, who plays Sherlock's brother, Mycroft. And I didn't know that he is such a prolific writer, because he did Doctor Who books. He did the movie that you liked, The Adventures of Space and Time.
Yes, love that.
Which,
that was really good.
People are thinking that he might be a good fit, but...
A lot of responsibility. And with Sherlock running, it's tough. But you can do it.
Yeah. So...
Forego sleep, sure. Do anything.
The other one that I thought about, and I'm like, ooh. This might be... Ooh. Like this. Ooh.
Oh, my.
I was born there. San Francisco.
Praxis?
He doesn't bring me tea. Star Trek reference.
Yeah.
All right. So another choice that... Okay. We've talked about in the past podcast things that I want you to watch and things that I should be watching from your recommendation. You've done BSG. You're almost done with the damn series. You completed almost 3 seasons worth of Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Which took years until just recently for you to get through. Misfits... is mine on you that you have not seen, but the creator for that is Howard Overman, who might be an interesting fit because this is something that if you watch the first couple of seasons of Misfits, it's a lot more fun than I've seen the later versions of it because the cast had changed, but I think it might be an interesting, let's take someone from the outside that has new ideas, new experiences, kind of like a J.J. Abrams kind of fit.
Right.
So I thought that might be also a good idea. So, but we'll see. I mean, right now it's just all speculation.
The idea is that, if you have a vision for the show and we like it and it's marketable and it will work, sure.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
I mean, Moffat came into it because he wrote a couple of great episodes and one of them was dealing with, I'm blanking out. The
Weeping Angels?
The Weeping Angels.
Yes,
sorry. Thank you.
Those. Yes.
Oh, that was the other thing, too.
Yes.
And back in the Christmas episode, there were weeping angels that are just there for no apparent reason. Like, what the... All right, keep looking at them, and then getting all surrounded, and that was it.
Take that.
Yeah. Get the TARDIS back, and we'll be fine. Here's
and
a mirror.
Clara manages to hang on the TARDIS and go... No, Captain Jack can do that,
I was there forever.
Yeah,
You sent me away. I was saving you.
Turkey's done. What?
So anyway, so hopefully, whenever we get those next 13 episodes, you know,
fall. It's an 8-month wait, but at least they're doing it correctly. All 13, all at once.
Right.
Which makes me very happy, and that's how you should do it. Because if you have a new doctor, you're not sure if he's going to work. Give it to us all at once.
Right. At least you can just like, okay, it didn't work. Let's change it for series 2 with Peter.
You get one shot at this. Do it right.
Yeah. So, and I think the problem that I had was that Moffat never wrote, I think, any episodes to the second half of series 7 with Claire. And it just felt kind of off because it didn't have his tastes, his flares, anything like that. And I think it's time that, because he's also doing Sherlock, it's like, okay, give the reins to someone else. Don't do like Rick Berman, who did Next Gen, DS9, Voyager, and then Enterprise. And his thumbprint kept getting worn out all over the place. You need to have fresh ideas, fresh people, let them branch out. And just because he was under Russell Davis, his umbrella, or whatever you want to term to call it, for a while. So it's like, enough. Let's get someone else in.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think when you're working with a show like that, and you're moving forward with it, it's tough. It's tough to stay fresh, you know, and think of creative ideas on the fly. I think that what's good about, I think, the whole Doctor Who thing is that we're doing 13 episodes. That implies to me a story arc. An all-inclusive story arc, which
hopefully
I miss.
Yes.
I think that ruined this last season of Doctor Who for me. There's no story arc that was sensible. I mean, you had the mini arc with the pawns, and then these weird standalone episodes, and you were like,
which sort of kind of, if you want to look at the possible girl, and the very last episode in which she's supposed to have had all this influence with all the doctors, that failed because you never had that connection all the way through. Not like the crack in the wall in the first time we see the pawns. At least that was consistent all the way through, and Moffat at least had that idea.
But I think the idea that, you know, Clara is in your timeline and she's with all the doctors and everyone.
No.
It's very ambitious an idea, but it's just like, how are you going to hold that up? Because if you're in the timeline, then you're not just with my past selves. You're with my future selves.
Right.
And everything. I'm just like, that doesn't work for me. It's too big an idea. And then she has to keep popping up everywhere. Job security.
Unless that's how she's going to teach Peter how to fly the TARDIS, because she already knows. I don't know. I mean, that's how it ends. Whatever. All right.
The close-up on Clara.
Clara.
Never done that before historically. Yeah. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Just like she went like this.
And open the TARDIS. No! Wrong!
Things are changing. So, we'll see.
For the better or for the worse.
Who knows? Who knows? Which you missed that little nod, and that the doctor said, you know, he had a plan, and he was touching his nose. Which I love that little nod.
I was so happy to see the episode I was drinking. So, first episode you watch, whatever you want, whatever makes you comfortable and most happy.
So, all right. So let's move on to Sherlock.
2 years.
2 years, which I didn't have to wait 2 years. That's the magic of.
Coming on late.
But that's fine, because I caught up, and I really took a hold of this character much more than I've done with Sherlock in general. I never liked the character other than, Star Trek did a Next Generation with Data. Data, it was Sherlock, and Watson was Geordi. So they did their own version of...
Yeah.
They did their own version. It was kind of cool. But it was dated. You had Robert Downey Jr. doing his version, which was Guy Ritchie's uptake on
interpretation
of his version of Sherlock, with Jude Law as Watson. So part of it was interesting, but again, it wasn't as...
It didn't captivate you.
Yeah, it's not as updated. Like, you have this great feel of, you can still have this character in present times and still be as brilliant as he can be with all this technology. Be even more brilliant than technology. So I thought that was kind of a lot fun to see. Because basically it's a doctor for our universe without being a doctor from the Doctor Who universe.
Right, with all these weird, compulsory, strange, antisocial behaviors. Good. It works. Yeah. Sure.
But the Doctor would pick up on certain social cues more than, say, Sherlock.
We're talking about Sherlock, the Stephen Moffat series now. I like the fact they modernized it. I think that was it's hard to do. And they kind of did it with House for a little bit. There's a lot of parallels with Sherlock Holmes and House, the Fox series. And that's quaint, but it's just, it got to be like the Incredible Hulk. Okay, so the mystery starts at, you know, at 10 minutes after, and he's wrong once, and then he's wrong at some point, and then at the last 10 minutes, he solves the mystery.
But then when does he walk alone and you hear the sad piano song?
Stewie doesn't do that till... pop culture. So much fun. I think we should do a
conversation. I would get so depressed watching those episodes. Because no matter how much he saves a day, he's always walking alone on the highway. Da-na-na. Da-na-na. Dum.
And then,
the pause. Oh, God. Right. That last note just rings and rings. I'm like, don't do that. he was accused of murder, you know.
Yeah, a murder he didn't commit. Oh, God, really?
Trust me, Mr. McGee. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
I think we should do a contest of how many pop culture references we just randomly make throughout the podcast. I think it'd be interesting to reward a listener, one of the 35 of you.
Or it's just the one guy listening to us 35 times. Thank you, Mom. All right, let's go back to the episode.
Sherlock! So, at the end of season 2, Sherlock is on the edge of a building from which he jumps, seemingly to his death. But then at the end, we see John Watson at the graveside, and Sherlock is...
alive!
Alive!
Not a memory.
No,
he's
but
very much alive.
There. And so 2 years later, we come back, and I think it's interesting that there was so much fervor and so much fan anticipation, and they were surprised by it. They addressed it in the previous, I think, the... Sure, Unlocked or something like that. There's a special they did after Downton Abbey. Yay! last week or so. And that was fascinating because it's really a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Really, and I like it when episodic television can bring a community together.
Yeah.
You know? And get us all standing, get them all excited. You know, it's really fun.
And it's not as if they had to rely on guns or violence. This is a matter of wit. Someone who's smart, that is of his own volition, that we supposedly believe that's what happened. But that's what's kind of, if you want to think about being smart is the new sexy, the new cool, that's what it is. To be that one more than everyone else, I think it is very infectious. Like, I would like to have that kind of...
presence,
that you can read someone's presence, and like, every once in a while, you read... what Doctor Who is looking at and knows exactly who you are, what you just did, your lifestyle, whatever it is, if you have cats or you don't, and read you like a book. Because every once in a while, I catch myself doing that.
Or trying to do that. When you can focus your mind, you're not worrying about your life, your kids, your job.
Right.
You're focused, you're in the moment.
But then, other than that, then I look at, oh, are they married? Are they well married?
Oh, she's so hot. Look at her finger. Does she have a ring?
Exactly.
Look at her neck. Does she have a necklace with someone's name on it?
And then, of course, I'm looking at their library records. Like, how old is she? Oh, I can see that. Okay.
What did she check out recently?
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah,
privileged information.
I'm not doing that for that reason. But it's just one of those.
Stalker.
I look. No, fuck you.
No, just you like Selby. You're a stalker.
Seriously, folks.
Wow, Gene tries for humor and fails.
So, but it's one of those, like, you like to look at a person and see if you can assess what they're about up to that point. You know, did they have an education? Do they have a certain background? You know, it's just one of those. If you have nothing else to do, like I do at times, I try to get like
front desk sitting there for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, there's no one checking out books, and there's just one person coming in. Okay, great.
Let me make a wreath of Khan.
Don't knock my wreath of Khan.
I'm not knocking it, but you spent taxpayer dollars.
Hey.
Now you were bored crapless, so fine. Do what you want. And you spruced up your library is beautiful. The TARDIS door that you made at your library bench.
At my own expense.
Was brilliant.
Because of my blue paper, the TARDIS blue, I had to order that special.
I admire that creativity.
So, to go back to what we're talking about on that point, is that over the holidays, I wanted to do a sci-fi Winter Wonderland for my library display. and I wound up doing a TARDIS door with this perfect blue paper that I had to order from Amazon because it like I had to have the right color blue. I went to Michael's and other art supplies. No one had the right blue. And I got enough of a roll they could put it in a sheet and it's all decorated and I'll try to post it up later. But it came out perfect. So I was so happy about that. But I spent so much time doing the door that I didn't get to do much of anything else for the holidays. And the Wreath of Khan, which is a pun on the Wrath of Khan, which is a wreath of the different Khan expressions. With a nice little
Corinthian leather.
With a nice little ribbon underneath, shaped like a wreath. It's brilliant. Which I stole. I didn't take credit for making the idea. I just stole the idea and then I made it my own. So there.
And if you know what it is, you're in the cool club immediately.
There you go. Although I could make that a prize if someone really wants to get it. But then you were telling me, no taxpayer money.
So I went to your focus group. Like, how we can save the libraries. There were all these questions. I was like, oh, that money. But it's okay. I mean, you're, whatever. And you put it on display in your library.
Yeah. So it was a good use. It was black.
Understood it.
And it was black. Because
you were in an elderly, gentle community, so.
No, but it was in the teen section, and that's what I do. I'm trying to do something cool. And it doesn't get appreciated. That's besides the point.
Back to Sherlock.
All right, so we're back to Sherlock. We see a version of the death of Sherlock, which you see like a bungee cord on his back, and I'm like, what the fuck? No, Tommy, that's what they did. And somehow he colored the bungee cord blue, and from a certain angle you couldn't see it. And I was just like, no, this cannot be. And thank God it wasn't that because, you know, Sherlock bungees down, comes right back up, crashes through the window, kisses Molly, and then as he's walking,
corner, right.
He turns and he does the look. He does the Sherlock look that John hates with his cheekbones and everything. So thank God it was just like, so that's how he lived. Like, fuck you. Lestrade,
right?
Yeah, so
one of the other, there's two detectives in the at the end of season two that believe that Sherlock might be a fraud.
Right.
And so one of them feels guilty. The other one didn't show up for this one. I know she was, whatever. Anyway.
Well, she's in the second one.
Is she? Okay, yeah. Good. So she's still around. On the payroll. Good. Like, where is she?
So that, thank God it wasn't that because I would have been pissed off, but it made you wait.
But look, the fascinating thing to me about this return of Sherlock Holmes is that, you know, like we said, we were talking about this before, Sherlock Holmes does fall off in the books. He does plummet to his death, mm-hmm. seemingly. And that was supposed to be it for the character. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrapped it up and said, okay, that's it, I'm done with it. But due to popular demand, he brought him back. But generally speaking, I don't think it's ever really explained. And with this show, this series, I love the way they give homage, almost, mm-hmm. or a wink, a tip of the hat, to the fans, because we're going to do just about everything that you theorize. We've read your stuff, we've seen your blogs, you know, we see your YouTube stuff, and yeah, okay, fine, here you go.
Except we don't get the TARDIS. That saves John in the middle of the jump, and then dumps him out in the bottom.
There's Hulock. We got Hulock. If you see that, you can do that on YouTube. Yeah. Hulock is amazing. It's a little fan tribute thing.
Which I love. I thought that was just brilliant. And even though the mouth at some points can really over computer generated, I give it kudos points 100% just because of what they were able to accomplish. It still works.
I love the way that, yeah, his hair wasn't like this. But let me fix that. Wow. In the making of little thing. It's amazing. But I really was impressed with the fact that, you know, they give you all these ideas, just like with Heath Ledger, the late Heath Ledger in The Dark Knights and his origin about how he got that way.
Right.
They do that two or three times during the Sherlock first episode, and yet there's no answer. They don't tell you in the end what it is. And I thought that is a way to do it, and I think it's the only way to really satisfy, you know, we're not going to give you the answer. He's just back.
Right.
And we acknowledge all your theories, and we're not going to tell you.
Right. And which is another article that Moffat said that, you know, really, you think we're going to kill our lead? It's not going to be that easy. Because that's our bread and butter. We kill him off, we got nothing.
But the thing is, you wanted the solution, but you're not going to get it. And I think that's fine. It's excusable. I can't believe I'm giving it a pass. It's fine. I had no problem with it.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just one of the once we get the last version of the story, in which other people were involved, not just Molly and Mycroft, but more people were supporting players to get this all done. From
theoretically,
from the bringing of the inflatable blue mattress to the bike guy knocking down John at a certain critical point. So, because Sherlock said that only a certain amount of people knew about this, and of course John was very pissed off that you would not tell your partner in crime, mm-hmm. so to speak, any of this. So
John is the everyman. John's the one who our eyes are, we see through his eyes.
Right.
That's how we. So we're like, okay, but.
Yeah, so you could tell everybody else, but you couldn't tell me. The only person that is willing to put up with your shit, you couldn't tell me. You know, and then I'm so glad that he beat the shit out of Sherlock several times. Because he's like, you know what? Like, bam! It's like, you know, he plays it. It's like a face from the past, and he does that reveal with the take off the glasses and the little fake mustache. I'm like... It's not a game. He really felt hurt that he was betrayed by Sherlock.
But the idea behind that, apparently, that we get in pieces is that he's trying to take down Moriarty's secret underground
thing.
Like you're gone 2 years doing that. You couldn't have sent a postcard. You couldn't.
So I'm like, what? This is the BBC's version of the Blacklist now? So he's kind of like, really? So, like, fine, I'll go with it. You know, Mycroft saves him from the very last moment being the shit out of him. But basically, it was just like... So, it was this big, elaborate plan. It's behind the scenes. He had to die. He had to go behind the scenes. It got to be the point, like, all right, fine, just leave it. I'm not going to get upset about this because... Unlike me, I didn't have to wait 2 years. So I was fine to give it a pass to just go.
I'm not upset about it either. I find it really refreshing that after that long, prolonged wait, which, you know, it happens in television kind of rarely. Your Mad Men keeps you waiting for a bit and then comes back and gives you little scraps. But, you know, this is interesting because, you know, you get movies.
Right.
Three movies, generally, and that's a season. You know,
which is better for us. I think if they do it that way, you get quality versus quantity.
It's full. It's a lot of stuff jam-packed in every episode.
Right.
And well thought out, except for the Hound of the Baskerville ones, which, one misstep out of five, sure. Okay, fine.
But that's the risk you take, because it's not as if you can have 22 episodes, you maybe have one or two that are really kind of filler or bad, and you have a lot more quality, but here you have one out of three. You have to make sure this is a well-crafted story. So it's a lot of pressure to make it right.
But I think with that, even with that, the season premiere, season three, episode one, it fulfills everything, and it feeds you. It acknowledges a fan, it entertains, and it's almost flawless.
Yeah,
I think it is, and all the excitement and the fervor immediately came back, and you get this wonderful rush because the show stays. The quality of writing hasn't diminished at all.
Right.
The story are great. The character portrayals, the logic behind everything is beautiful, and it's just nice to be back, even after a little hiatus. Well, you know, Martin Freeman does The Hobbit,
and Benedict does whatever he needs to do.
It's
like, here, I got this little movie. You want to come be the dragon? Okay.
Sure.
We got 2 years.
And then I'll do The Fifth Estate, and that'll flop. Whatever. I don't know.
You know, I do Right Into Darkness. That'll flop.
That won't. You hate that movie. It did okay. It's just, you know, not what they expected.
You would think I would still get over this. It's the last podcast. It all comes back.
It's a new year. It's a new year. It's a new year.
It's a boomerang.
Doctor Who is going to help you stop this.
No, it's not. But we are. I think it's been confirmed, sort of, that we're going to get season 4 and 5 of Sherlock, which will be kind of cool. Of course, we don't know
when.
But at least we got two more seasons, and basically, I think they'll play it enough so that you're not going to get too overhyped with Benedict, because he's becoming now the favorite, kind of like the way Doctor Who used to be. And just kind of like pace it out a little bit more, maybe once every year.
I could live with that.
Yeah, I think it's fine, because three movies is a lot to do within 1 year. And they do it within a short amount of time. So, you know, I can deal with that. But the other, there was another moment that I noticed that this episode wasn't so much about like the crime story, like the A story where we have, you know, what's the case for this week or this movie. This is just about their...
How did he come back?
Yeah, how he come back. That's all you care about. And then you see their relationship, how you try to mend those two together because of the time difference. And I think it's crafted so well that it's like, you know that John really hates him for what he did, but he also wants Sherlock back in his life.
I think it was
and vice versa too.
Kind of a self luxurious thing, because you knew the big question was, how did Sherlock survive? So, and you, I think it was fascinating that there's really no mystery too much in this episode. It just takes its time, it plants seed for future episodes. Right. Who's the next bad guy gonna be? But we're just gonna do a John Watson and Sherlock Holmes misfits getting back together as old friends kind of episode. And no hard feelings, and, you know, growing through that. And I thought that was really nice.
Which is kind of like, not going to compare to Star Trek, but, you know, Star Trek did the family episode. I forget which season, I think fourth or fifth.
It's season four. It's the one right after The Best of Both Worlds.
Right, exactly. So you have, you know, a character story.
Why do I know that?
Because he's a nerd!
No. You've been nerded!
No, I was but young once, I believed in, yes.
But that's the whole point. It's like you have no action. It's just a story about Picard, and it was a brilliant story because you see him releasing of his emotions about being abducted and how he felt helpless, and it was a nice sight to see that as opposed to being the uptight Captain Picard. Sherlock and John, you get to see both sides of them because, you know, Sherlock, every once in a while, he hears John's voice in his head going through the motions, like, just shut up. Because he knows that John would say those things at that moment if he was there. So it was kind of like to see them two come together, and then finally, all is forgiven. And of course, John shaves a damn mustache.
I like the way that John's kind of moved on. He's got a potential fiance, which I guess, seeing the previews, he's going to marry. So that's good. And I like that. And I like the way that, you know, no one was really left out. You know, she goes back to the old landlord, and she thinks that they were gay.
Which I love, because it's like, I'm tired of everyone thinking that we're gay, but we're not. It's like, well, then you moved on, considering you're with Sherlock. Yeah. I'm like, what's it with Sherlock?
Ah, joy.
And I moved on with a woman. I'm like, okay.
Joy is a miscommunication. Assumptions, yeah.
But of course, you couldn't have done that 20 years ago, because that would have been too much to handle, to have sunk even just a layer of suspicion.
The BBC, though, is just it really is. I mean, is it because it's cable? They'll cross those lines, like with Captain Jack Hartnick's, you know, his omnisexuality.
He doesn't care who he hits,
and,
you know,
it's like, wow, that's bold. And, you know, the way the Torchwood is adult themes,
right?
Not suitable for children.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's so well crafted. You love the characters. You love the actors that do this. The writing is top notch. And you have, you know, more than an actual 40-minute episode, because they're an hour and a half long. You really got the best of everything you want out of a series. You know, and I just really cannot talk more about the series. I just enjoy it so much that... Now that we have the first episode under our belt, and we have two more left, it's like, okay, I'm going to have to just wait, stretch it out, take your time. Because I may have to wait another 2 years myself, and I don't want to do that to myself.
Join the club. Welcome to the club.
I don't want to do that. I'd rather, like I've been doing with Breaking Bad. So if I'm finishing enough... where I'm catching up to the last half of season 5 with me being in season 2, then I can watch it all together at the same time. That's perfect. But to wait 2 years, that's a lot. But then again, not all the shows are like Sherlock. So
yeah, Sherlock is, I think, one of the most promising things out there.
Yeah.
Really, really good quality. Really fun and entertaining. Not really depressing, but moments of suspense. But in a...
There's a joy watching this.
Yes.
And you have a nice feeling of watching the two of them together, because, you know, no one can put up with Sherlock's shit more than John, and no one understands Sherlock than John. So it's just they complement together, and it's just it's nice seeing male friendship like that, because when you bond together like that, even though he's like
Frodo and Sam,
I'm his gardener. This is the farthest. What's the line?
Oh, the farthest God. I've ever. If farthest, I take over step, the farthest I've ever been to the Shire. Blah 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 blah.
Okay. I tried.
I know.
I failed. If you're keeping score at home, that's 1-1 of fail.
Failed humor to make either you laugh or each other. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Or that one person or the 35 people that listen to our podcast. There you go. Okay. So I think that ends pretty much everything for Sherlock, other than we loved it. We can't wait to see more of it. I don't know if we'll do more podcasts, considering there's only 2 more episodes, but we'll see how...
We'll see how slow the news gets, but a lot happening on in this year and the next, and lots of stuff.
Yeah, exactly, so... Alright, well, that does it for Sherlock, and I hope you liked it. Let us know what you think. You can email me at monstersciifishow@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, and find the Monster Sci-Fi Show page there, as well as Twitter. You can find us at MONSTSYFY show, which is for Monster Sci-Fi Show, but I had to spell it the Siffy way, which I explained because I could not put sci-fi the old-fashioned way because there's not enough characters to fit my name. On to the show. All right, so that does it, and that's it, Mr. Gene. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
It was a review of Doctor Who, the Moffat Hour.
The Moffat Hour. You've turned into the Moffat Hour.
Do you know the Moffat Man? No, okay, that's... No.
Do you know the Moffat Man? The Moffat Man. Oh, wow. We are... And that ends it. We gotta go.
Thank you.
Try the veal.